bless his name.
Oh, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Oh, who am I that he would pray, not my cross, he would go. For who am I? Oh, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Oh, who am I that he would pray, not my
think of how he came so far from glory. Oh, he came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I.
Sing this part if you know it.
Oh, I'm reminded of his words. I'll leave you never. And if you'll be true, I'll give to you a life forever and forever. I don't my battles till they're won. For who am I? Oh, who am I? The King.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Oh, my will
that to an old rugged cross he go, for who am I? Amen. Aren't you thankful?
Yes.
Amen. For that old rugged cross. Amen. I don't know where we'd be. Amen. We didn't deserve it. Amen. We deserved what he took for us. Amen. But he took that old rugged cross for us. Amen. I'm thankful. I didn't deserve it, but he did it anyhow. Amen. God bless you this morning. Wanted to announce, Lord willing, we'll be having a youth Bible study here at the church in the basement, in the fellowship area, June the 29th. That's Thursday, June the 29th from 7:30 to 9:30, and that's for the single youth ages 10 to 30. Brother Wes Willis will be with us then, and he'll be speaking at that youth Bible study. And then that Friday evening, which is June the 30th, we'll be having a youth service here in the sanctuary at 7:30, and that's focused to the young people, but it's for anybody that wants to come. We'll probably do like we did last time and reserve the first couple rows for the young people, but anybody's welcome to attend that. And then Saturday, July 1st, we'll be having a pitch-in meal from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the church there in Georgetown, the Tunnel Hill Christian Church. Their gym in the back there, we'll be renting that for the fellowship. And then that Sunday morning, July 2nd, Brother Wes will be preaching for us the Sunday morning and Sunday evening services. So we'll be looking forward to the fellowship and the time of the Lord together, the services and things during that time. Got a couple testimonies that I want to share with you this morning. Wednesday night, we lost power here as far as electricity, but the power still fell anyhow. And my wife, she'd woke up that morning. She'd been moving some things, some boxes and furniture and stuff, helping her parents and moving some things around at our house too. And she woke up Wednesday morning just with extreme pain in her neck. And she hardly turned it at all. She was just in excruciating pain and had an extreme headache from that. And she came up for prayer Wednesday night. And by the time we got in the car, the pain was completely gone. Amen. And then Sister Tina, my sister-in-law, she'd had an infection in her jaw from an abscessed tooth and was going to have surgery on that the following day. But she'd been on an antibiotic for 2 weeks trying to get the swelling to go down. And she came up for prayer, and it just seemed like nothing they tried, the swelling wouldn't go down. By the time she got out the door of church, the swelling was completely gone. So God's a good God, isn't he? Amen. Let's just give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. He's good to us. And the Stillwaters camps are going to be going on this week, so I want to remember the campers there for just safety and for God to just do something in their life. I think we're going to have a few of our young people there at the camp this week, so just remember them in prayer. Sister Sherry Virgin, she's not feeling well this morning. Just want to remember her for a touch from the Lord. And Sister April Stutzman, her grandma, Sister Norma Dodge, is in the hospital in Utah. They claim that they think her aorta is rupturing, so I want to remember her in prayer this morning. And then Peyton Bryant, my grandniece, she's been taken to a children's hospital in Philadelphia for enzyme replacement therapy, and they say that she's lacking the enzymes that she needs for muscle development, and she also has thickening of the heart ventricles. And the doctors say that if this enzyme therapy, if her body doesn't accept it, that she won't live to be a year old. And if it does accept it, they still don't think her muscles will develop correctly and that she won't probably live a very long or normal life. But we know that God's more than able.
Amen.
Amen. I was telling him, I've seen God heal cancer. I've seen him heal hepatitis B. I've seen him heal scoliosis. I've seen him heal so many things that this is nothing to God. Amen. So the doctors are doing the best they can, but when they run out of options, we take it to a higher power. We have a great physician, amen, that we go to. Brother Truman, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer this morning? How many of you have unspoken prayer requests that you'd like to make known to the Lord by uplifting of hands? Amen. He sees each one. He cares about each one. Brother Bram said, he cares because you care. Amen. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we're grateful once again to be in your house. We want to thank you for your many blessings, for all that you've done for us, Lord. We ask you, Lord, your hand would be upon this service, Lord, that your will would be accomplished, Heavenly Father. These requests, Lord, that very needy people, Lord, we know that you're God, Heavenly Father. We commit it all into your hands, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ we pray. Amen.
Just two quick announcements. Parents, if you want your children in Sunday school is at 10:30. If it's past 10:40, I'm sorry, but we can't allow them to go down and go to class. It disrupts the class when they walk in very late, so try to get your children here on time, please. The next announcement was some time back. We've been praying off and on, many of us, or maybe all the time, however you do it, for Sister Rachel Erickson. I'm sorry, Rachel. Okay. That's a senior moment. Anyway, Sister Rochelle, their last test they got says she's cancer-free. So we want to thank the Lord for that. I think they said they're going to run another test here before long and see if any other cells has popped up. But, you know, they can look all they want. God knows how to get rid of them. So we're thankful for all that the Lord has done. And messing around here, I lost my place. Psalms 22, we'll start with the 16th verse and finish out the chapter today. Singing that little song about who I am, it kind of goes along with this, because this is talking about Christ on the cross, is what David's writing on this one here. But aren't you glad to know who you are?
Amen.
That the prophet of God, I know when the brother wrote the song, he meant well, but today we can sing it, I guess we could change it and say, I know who I am. So we're so glad that God sent a prophet our way, that he would reveal the word to us. And we don't look at this old fleshly body, but we look at this inside man. This isn't going to make heaven or eternal life, but this one in here will. So we're glad. So let's read 16 and finish the chapter this morning. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the lion's mouth.
I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard.
My praise
The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. In your heart, your heart shall live forever.
All the ends of the world shall remember.
For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among all the nations.
All they that be fat on earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul.
A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. God bless you. Please be seated.
God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Brother Elijah Nicholson.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice to the same old lies, trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaker. Savior, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves when out. out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. Oh, and there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a bridge and shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody justify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody justify, justify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody justify.
God bless you. Thank you. That was wonderful. At this time, we have a special from Sister Rebecca's class.
Thank you.
Well, that was truly wonderful. What a blessing. Sure appreciate our young people.
Oh, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. We're singing glory to His name. Oh, glory to His wonderful name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides.
singing glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Well, there to my heart was the blood of Christ. Oh, glory to his name.
Amen. You love him this morning? Let's sing this together. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise. I'll trust him. Oh, I'm gonna praise my Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store. The Hebrew children said he's more than able, but even if he doesn't, I'll still serve him. I will praise the Lord. Circumstance, whatever the trial, dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I'm gonna praise. Oh, let's sing it one more time to him this morning. Oh, I wanna praise my Lord. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. God bless you. This morning, turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 55. And just want to say a very happy Father's Day to you brothers that have children and grandparents that have grandchildren, different things. Happy Father's Day to you this morning. And certainly appreciate godly fathers that instill Christian principles in their children, teach them about Jesus. We'd be a lot better off if there was more of them in the world today. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, I just ask that you'd be in this service, Lord. May you take complete control. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, just sitting over there and just feeling your presence in the worshiping and the singing of songs, Lord, we thank you for an atmosphere of worship this morning. Lord, we want to make you welcome, Lord, not only in the building, but in our hearts, Father. Lord, may you have total preeminence, Lord, not only in what is said and done here this morning, although we truly desire that, But Lord, may you have preeminence in our lives, Father. May it not just be that we let you have preeminence on Sundays and Wednesdays, but Lord, may you have preeminence in our lives every day of the week, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, again for your presence, because if you weren't here, Father, we would just be, it'd just be a gathering of people, just like a lodge or a club or any other group that would gather for fellowship or to socialize. But Lord, when your presence comes and quickens the word, it's more than a group of people. It's more than fellowship. It's more than socializing, Lord. But we enter into worship and we enter into your presence, Father. Lord, it changes lives. Lord, we've seen people's, Lord, their hearts change. We've seen lives change. We've seen families change. We've seen the sick healed, Lord. We've seen so many things that you've done. Lord, we need you again this morning. There's many needs represented here today. Lord, for these requests that we prayed over, Father, earlier this morning, Lord, I just ask that you would move on the scene for each one just now. May your Holy Spirit go and minister at each one of these needs, we pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Well, it's nice to get through the opening scripture and still have power. Amen. Wednesday night we struggled through, but I'm thankful that God provided a way for us. And amen. We certainly felt his presence, and it was good to be in church. Amen. Good to see what God was doing. Somebody say, well, why, goodness, you didn't have no power, didn't have no lights. Why didn't you just quit and go home? Well, those testimonies that have been coming forth might not have happened if we did that. Amen. But we just follow the leading of the Lord to the best of our ability. I want to speak to you this morning. We spoke last Sunday on being germatized and how the seed has to be germatized. And I was praying about what direction to go and looking through some notes and things. And I had just written down about a month ago, almost exactly, I had written down a little note on my phone, and it just said, incorruptible seed. And that's what I want to talk about this morning with the help of the Lord, incorruptible seed. And I just want to make just a side note before we get into the service this morning. It was 6 years ago tomorrow. It was on a Sunday, but the way the dates fall, it was June the 19th, 2011, that me and my wife and children gathered into the living room and had the first service at the Church of the Open Door 6 years ago. And so I thank God where he's brought us from and what he's brought us from and where he's brought us to and the different buildings that he's let us have and different things. It's nice to have a building we can call our own, and nice to look out and see more than one adult and two children this morning. And but we had some good services, though, even before anybody else came, when it was just me and Rebecca and the children, we had some good services. I remember the first service that was there in the home. I played a little about a 5-minute quote of Brother Branham dedicating a church, and then I preached on finding the little shoe, and how that the people went up in the attic that was going to have a divorce, and they got up there and they was arguing, bickering over this and that, and then they found that one little shoe and they found they had something in common. So I'm glad we have something in common this morning. Amen. We may not all see 100% eye to eye. One brother may see it a little bit this way. One brother may see it a little bit that way. And even that doesn't just go around the message. But even in this church building this morning, we've got different people that came from different backgrounds, different teaching. And you may like chocolate ice cream, and I may like vanilla ice cream. But we've got something in common. We like ice cream. Maybe you don't like ice cream. Maybe it's something else. But we certainly like good things from the Lord, and we certainly love this message. So we've got something in common. We've got something in common this morning. Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, David speaking, he says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Now, St. Paul, who is a prophet, picks this up in the book of Acts, chapter 13, and he says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption." So is David wrong? Because he said, "Thou will not leave thine holy one in corruption." He says, "Thou will not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." But then Paul comes around and says, David saw corruption. Because David wasn't speaking of himself. Many times when we look back through the Bible and even through the message, many times they weren't speaking of themselves, but it was the Holy Ghost that was speaking and uttering forth something that the Holy Spirit was going to do. And when the Holy Spirit said it, it was going to come to pass. David did not fulfill this, but yet the word of the Lord was fulfilled anyhow. Amen. David saw corruption, but Paul says, he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Now, in the beginning, God, when he spoke the word, as we've looked at it for almost a year now in our Wednesday night series, God speaking the word, when he spoke forth, he had no timber, he had no stone, he had no brick, he had no mortar, he had nothing to create from, but he spoke, and when he spoke, the world began to come into existence by the creative power of the spoken word. I'm going to set my timer here, or we'll go all day, and it'll be time for Sunday night service, but when he spoke the word, there was nothing, but he spoke in darkness and light began to come. He spoke where there was nothing, and things that were invisible began to be visible. He spoke and there were no trees, there was no earth, there was nothing. But when he began to speak, it began to form itself and it began to be tangible. As we looked at it last Wednesday night, the spoken word began to materialize. And we believe today, with the help of the Lord, if it's God speaking in this generation, that it'll materialize itself as well. It doesn't just have to be the prophet or the pastor, a little housewife or whatever it would be. The faith in the right atmosphere and God giving the unction, it'll materialize itself. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. I don't think God would do that for a little housewife. Well, let me remind you of a woman named Hattie Wright, that what she spoke materialized. Amen. It was her words. He said, you ask what you will. Amen. That wasn't just a statement Brother Branham made to Hattie Wright, but that was a statement that Jesus Christ made to the bride. He said, ask what you will and believe and don't doubt and it'll be done. Amen. We still have that same assurance this morning. The spoken word, when it went forth, Isaiah said, I won't speak my word and it go out and return to me void, but it'll perform exactly what his purpose was. Sometimes it doesn't perform exactly what we had in mind, but it performs what his purpose was. Sometimes we get it all figured out. Oh, it's going to be this way, and I think it's going to be that, and I think it's going to be this. That's all right to have opinions, but many times it's not exactly the way that our opinions was. Many times God brings things completely a different way than we thought, but it still performs exactly what the word was going to be. When Isaiah spoke and said, a virgin shall conceive, no doubt he began to look through the town, he began to look through the city, and he began to think, oh my, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be, Brother Eduardo? The spoken word has gone forth. Isaiah knew that it wasn't him that spoke that, but that it was God speaking it forth. And so he knew that it was going to take place. God doesn't always show exactly when and where and how. And so he goes and he looks and he watches. And years later he dies and he still hasn't seen it performed. And hundreds of years later, his great-great-grandchildren have died and his congregation, many of them, has fallen away. But yet the word still had to be performed. Why? Because it wasn't Isaiah's word, it was a word of God, and God's word cannot fail. God's word cannot go and just return void, but it'll perform exactly what God said it would do. Why? Because the spoken word is an incorruptible seed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, Job, when he went out and he looked at the flower, and the flower would wilt and die, but yet the next year it would rise up again. He'd go out and he'd look at the grass, and, you know, it'd get covered over with snow, and it would die out, and it'd just be yellow as anything, but then it would come back the next year green and beautiful. And he'd look at the trees, and the leaves would begin to fall off, and the sap would go down into the root of the tree, but yet in the next spring of the year, even though there had been a fall, and even though there had been death, yet the life would come back up into that tree and the leaf would live again. There would be life that would be supplied again. And he looked at this and he said, God's doing this through nature. And being a typologist, he could look and see how all these other things work together, but he couldn't understand how a man would go down to the dust and yet he wouldn't live again. And how could a man go down to the dust and yet his sons, they would come, but they couldn't speak to him and he couldn't speak to them. And how could these things be? But then God in his grace and his providence sense. He let Job have a glimpse of Calvary. And he looks down through time and he sees his Redeemer living, even though he had died. Here was an incorruptible seed. They could try to put it in the grave, but it wasn't going to corrupt because it was incorruptible seed. He looked and he saw all other men, great men, prophets and sages and scribes and kings and monarchs and all these different ones. They would die no matter how great they were, no matter how well they lived. He said, the fool dies the same way as the wise man. The rich man dies the same way as the poor man. No matter how good they were or how bad they were, they all go the way of the grave. And he was just about to give up hope. But then he saw a glimpse of an incorruptible seed. And he saw that this one's not going to see corruption. Because, oh my, they can bury it. But what did he say? Within 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He knew corruption couldn't set in. Why? Once that word went forth, there was no way. I don't care how many Romans they stacked on the tomb. I don't care how many chains they put on the stone. I don't care how many people they stood around the body and tried to keep it. It was coming forth because the word had went forth. And the word was an incorruptible seed. It was going to perform exactly what it was meant to do. You say, I just don't know, Brother Nathan. You don't science. And things they're teaching all these things about evolution and germs and how that, you know, we just crawled out of a bacteria somewhere and you know, it just began to form itself and begin to evolve and things like that. And, well, you know, they just claim it was random selection and that all these things just happened by circumstance. And I just don't have that much faith. I don't have that much faith. As I said a few weeks ago, if you was to take this watch and take all the pieces out of it, every little wheel and battery and gadget and every little thing, and you was to place it in a bag, and you was to sit there and shake that bag for about 1,000,000 years, I don't have enough faith to believe that it would be put back together, let alone that it would be working and keeping accurate time. And God, when he spoke, there's been an earth in existence that's spinning in orbit just exactly the way that it's supposed to be. We you know, your Timex and your Rolex and your Apple Watch or whatever, it may lose a few seconds here or gain a few seconds there, but this world has been keeping perfect time. The moon and the stars and everything has been keeping perfect time. It's been right on time. It's not got out of orbit. It's not, this star hasn't got too close to us, or that sun hasn't got too close to us to change the climate in such a way that would burn us up. We're the only planet that we know of that can sustain human life, because it's just exactly the right distance from the sun so that we, you know, we're warm enough that we don't freeze to death, but we're not so warm that we don't burn up. And we've got just enough gases in the air that it's breathable without it being combustible. And we've got just enough gravity to where it'll hold us on the ground so we don't float off somewhere without just crushing us like a soda can. I can't believe that all that just happened randomly. I don't have that much faith. They say, oh my, you know, this was an intelligent design. Well, it took intelligent design to build my watch. And my body's a lot more complex than the watch. And the solar systems and the galaxies is a lot greater and more expansive and complicated than my body. So, you know, I just don't have enough faith for that, you know, just random selection stuff. Amen. If you want to believe in random selection, here's how I believe it. God randomly said, you know, I'm going to put this here and I'm going to put that there. And he did it just exactly the way he wanted it. And it was his selection and it was his timing, and his words brought exactly what it was supposed to do. I believe in that type of selection. Amen. But not that a frog evolved into a possum and a possum evolved into a monkey and a monkey evolved into me. I don't have that much faith, Brother Randy. If so, you need to go down to some of these places and look around and see some of these people, the poor, pitiful things. They've backward evolved. And it just totally contradicts their theories. You know, you look at some people and you think, oh my, they're headed backwards. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, he's not talking about Donald. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The dead can't inherit eternal life in their corruptible condition. They've got to be changed from corruption to incorruption. They'll be raised incorruptible and will be changed into incorruptible. Amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Brother Layton got ahead of me again this morning. He was talking about how this guy isn't going to be the one that spends eternity. This flesh is going to be changed.
Right.
Amen. It's got to be changed before it. Why? Because this is corruptible. This was born of corruptible seed. I don't mean any offense to my parents or my grandparents or my great-grandparents, but this came through corruptible seed. And don't look down on the Bryants, because the Ards and the Hoovers and the Laytons and all the rest of you came the same way, through corruptible seed. But there's an incorruptible seed down on the inside of that soul. If you was truly predestinated before the foundation of the world, and God looked down through time and saw you in his thinking, and he spoke forth and said, let there be a Bill Layton, and let there be a Jerry Bryant, and let there be a Jimmy Art, then you was part of his spoken word from the beginning, and it's an incorruptible seed. They can take this guy, they can burn it, they can chop its head off, they can feed it to the lions, they can do whatever they want. It's going to corrupt anyhow, but there's something down on the inside that's incorruptible because it's from the beginning. Adoption 4, 1960 says, when this natural body comes into earth, there's a spiritual body waiting for it. And when this natural body's dropped on the ground, he says, hallelujah, there's one waiting yonder. We just move from one into another. We change our dwelling places. This mortal must put on immortality. This spiritual, this corruption must put on incorruption. This old, wrinkled up, drawed, stooped over body, but it won't change its appearance at all. I mean, when it gets yonder, you'll still have the same spirit. He's not talking about this old stooped over body won't change at all. He said, I mean, when he gets over there, you'll have the same spirit. Amen. Not as stooped over, wrinkled up. Maybe you've got hardly any hair left, or maybe what hair you've got is turned white. It's not going to be that way. That's going to be changed. But there's something down on the inside of you that won't have to be changed, because it was already changed.
Amen.
It's not corruptible anymore, but it's an incorruptible seed. If you ever really got the Holy Ghost, that part's already changed.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Oh, my. You know, Brother Lauren, he corrected me the other day. He used to be an English teacher, and he likes to give me a hard way to go about my punctuation and my pronunciation and my enunciation and all kinds of nations. But he said, I've been saying temporal. And he said, it's not temporal, it's temporal. And I thought, well, I probably heard that from Brother Branham, because a lot of those, you know, words that I say wrong is because I've been listening to Hillbilly with the seventh grade education. I just happen to like the way he says things. But I went back and I played it, and he says temporal too. So I don't know where I got temporal from, but that was just a temporary setback. We're going to say temporal from now on. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But he said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Many times we're so focused on sowing to the temporal, so focused on sowing to things that's going to pass away. So focused on, my wife sometimes, I'm a little particular. You know, me and Brother Daniel Cooley, we're a little particular and a little OCD, and we like things a certain way. And, you know, sometimes she doesn't back the car up as far as I'd like her to. And I said, I don't want people, when they walk down the sidewalk, to scratch the front end of the vehicles. Just back it up a little further. She says, it's going to burn. One of these days it's going to burn anyhow. I said, well, that's right, but I'd like it okay until it burns. Many times we're so focused on the things that are just temporary, that are so fleeting, and we spend so much of our time focused on those things. Oh, what's the new action movie? What's the new thing that's going on in the news? What's the latest book, or what's the latest sporting event, or what's the latest fellowship thing going on over here, or what's this one doing, or what's that one doing? What kind of car did this one buy, and what kind of job did that one get? All those things are all right for the most part, but don't focus so much of your time on that you're sowing and sowing and sowing to these temporary things. We spend all of our time and all of our money and all of our focus many times. And if you stop and think, what did I do this week? And you can calculate it up and find how many of those things was sowing to the eternal, and how many of them were sowing to temporary things that's going to fade away and burn.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. It's all right to have a house. It's all right to have clothes. We thank you for having clothes this morning. It's all right to have a car and a job and all these things. God said, you know, he knew those things were necessary. But he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all those things, your clothes and your house and your car and your job and all that, that'll take care of itself.
Amen.
Stop sowing so much to the temporal things and sow to eternity for a while. All these things are going to corrupt and burn, but there's a part of us down on the inside that's incorruptible. And whatever you're sowing towards, that's what you're going to reap.
Amen.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, St. Paul says to the Galatians. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of a man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Amen.
And this is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you. Many of the things we look at around here, you can spend 7 hours a week on your lawn and just have it so green and so plush and not a weed in it, and you can spend time out in your flower garden and all those things. That's all right. That's okay. But it's going to wither away and die. Come spring, you're going to be back over remulching the whole thing and doing all those things. That's all right. It's nice to have things look nice. But don't sow so much to those things and you think, oh my, you know, I got a lot done today. I got the yard taken care of, got the cars cleaned up, got the house shined up, got the kids cleaned up, and oh my, we went down to JCPenney's and got some new clothes and some new shoes, and we went over here and ran this errand, we went over there and ran that errand, all these things, and then you look around, oh, I didn't read the Bible today, and I said a little now, lay me down to sleep, and oh, I meant to call Brother So-and-so, I know he's going through a trial, but it's so late now, you know, I spent so much time on all those other things, he's probably in bed, and oh my, I need to go do this. I was going to visit Sister So-and-so in the hospital, but you know, visiting hours is over now because I had to get all these other things done. It's okay to do those other things, but don't sow so much to that you leave the eternal sowing just on the back burner. The faith that was once delivered to the saints, 1953, you'll find out what kind of a crop you'll have by the kind of seed you got planted. Is that right? When our Bible said that we are sown with incorruptible seed of God, imperishable. It cannot perish. God's word cannot perish. Can't perish, he says. If the word went forth and God spoke when in the beginning, when he said, let there be light, I don't know how many millions or billions or trillions of years, it doesn't say. I don't know how long it took. He just said, let there be, and there was.
Right.
He said, let there be a heavens and an earth, period. And he stopped right there. Mm-hmm. Amen. I don't know how long it was. Brother Ram said they look out here at these rocks and things and say, oh my, it was this old, that old. I don't know how long that was. But I know when he started to create the grass and the trees and the human beings and things like that, when they say there's men that have been around for, you know, 20 million years, I know better than that. Amen. I don't know how long the earth's been here. I don't know how long the rocks have been here. I don't know how long it took from the time he spoke and said, let there be, until the time that it actually took place. But I know when he began to create this world, we have a time frame for that. Because that's right in here. Amen. I don't go, you know, they change their opinions. One scientist will look at a rock and say it's this old, and another scientist will look at the same rock and do different type of testing and say it's that old, and this one will say this, and this one will say that, and in 100 years they'll have changed their mind 57 times anyhow, but there's one book that doesn't change.
Amen.
Amen. And I've seen what it produces.
All right.
I've seen what it produces. Why? Because it's of incorruptible seed. It's not just of the changing of ways and the changing of opinions and the changing of popularity, but it's a solid foundation that is unchangeable. It's imperishable. It cannot perish. Whatever the word spoke forth, when the word went out, when God told Moses, go down to Egypt and let my people go, it seemed impossible, but the word had went forth. One man invasion going down to Egypt tells the greatest military power in the world, the greatest economical power in the world. He goes down and he tells old Pharaoh, he says, let my people go. Who do you think you are, Moses? You're identified out here with these mud daubers. You don't have any authority. You don't have any political power. You don't have an army. You don't have nothing but a staff. But, oh my, when he put that staff in the hands of God, that was all he needed. Many times we look at numbers and we look at dollar bills and we look at popularity and we look at the economy and we look at status and we look at all these different things. But one old man with a stick was more powerful than all of Pharaoh's army, all of his economy, all of his buildings, all of his slaves, everything that he had, everything that he was doing. One man with a crooked stick walked down and said, "Let my people go." What was it? He had the word of God. And the word of God, once it went forth, it didn't matter how impossible it seemed, didn't matter how many people doubted, didn't matter how many people stood up and said it's impossible. The word had went forth and it was an incorruptible seed. It was going to bring forth exactly what the word had said. Amen. For him will I accept, 52. He says, a real, true, born again child of God stands firm. We are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. It cannot perish. Again, Speak to the Rock, 1953. Now, that's not just from one revival to another. That's everlasting life, forever imperishable. We are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, which cannot perish. See, it's incorruptible. It can't perish.
Amen.
You see, some people, they get discouraged. They wind up walking away and they wind up falling out of church and they just can't go on anymore, it seems. Why? Because they came around from revival to revival, from special meeting to special meeting, but something didn't drop down on the inside. And they said, "Well, you know, I sat there and I heard all the same things that everybody else heard, but I didn't move me at all. It didn't do nothing for me." What is it? It's got to be more than revival to revival. It's got to be more than camp meeting to camp meeting. It's got to be more than special service to special service and guest speaker to guest speaker. It's got to be something that comes down on the inside that's an incorruptible seed.
Amen.
That it doesn't matter if your mommy leaves or your daddy leaves or your spouse leaves or your children leaves or whoever it is that leaves. There's something that has changed down on the inside of you that you aren't looking to anybody else to see what they're doing. You're looking to him. Hey man, I'm reminded of the story. Brother Ram talked about the little boy that he was a violin player, and he came in, and he was at a great cathedral there performing and a great audience up there, and he was standing there playing the violin, oh my, just so perfect and everything, and the people were standing and applauding, and it didn't move him at all. He was looking up into the rafters there, and there was a man sitting way up in the balcony, and he was looking to see what his response was. And they begin to wonder what's going on. That was the great master that had taught him how to play the violin. All these people down here that was applauding and going on and different things, they probably couldn't play a violin to save their life. They probably couldn't tune one. They probably couldn't teach, let alone teach somebody else how to play one. He wasn't listening so much to their applause, but he was looking on up higher to see what the response of the master would be.
Amen.
Many times we get so concerned, what's my family going to think? What are my friends going to say? What are the other people at the church going to say? What are people in the message going to think if I do this, if I make this decision, if I take this stand, if I really stand for the word in the way that I see it? And we begin to look around at everybody else and we begin to test things out a little bit and see what the response of the people will be. Well, we should be looking up higher to see what his reaction is. Oh, not just, when I got on that last time, began to preach it, I could tell Sister So-and-so, she really, oh my, she was clenching up hard. She didn't amen. She didn't smile. In fact, she looked disgusted. And she's one of the best tithe payers in the church. So I better not get on that again. You're watching the wrong thing.
Amen.
You're looking down here when you should be looking up there. Oh my, when I got around my family last time and I really began to tell them what I'm seeing in the message and what I'm believing in the scripture, I could tell they wasn't receiving it very well. So I guess I better just not do that because I don't want to offend nobody. You're looking at the wrong thing.
Amen.
You should be looking up higher to see what the master's response is.
Amen.
Why I'm a holy roller. I love that title. Why I'm a holy roller, 1953. Here a grain of wheat can't do nothing but produce wheat. Its seed, its beginning is a wheat. Now, if you're the bride of Jesus Christ, you're going to produce the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because his life is in the body. Amen. It's the same life. Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said if the true vine ever puts forth another branch, what will it do? It'll write another book of Acts behind it. Now, some people that feel like they're that true branch in this age need to go back and look and see what the real book of Acts really was and what they did and how they acted. The things that they did, the things that they performed. They say, oh my, we don't need none of that speaking in tongues and stuff today. That's out of order. Well, I guess when Danny Henry came down there at the front of the service and Brother Branham said he spoke those things over him, he said, my, it was so powerful it still stayed with me. I guess that was just out of order then. I guess all the times you look down through and see how many times he said, you hear that message go forth? He said, the preaching is over. He said, my, that message went forth perfectly in order. Amen. You mean the Holy Spirit would change his mind about what was in order and what was out of order? You can get quiet on me all you want. It's the word. Amen. Amen. I know many of you have been taught different, but you go back and read all the quotes, not just one tape and one quote. Amen. Amen. I believe all that he said, Brother Hoover. Amen. Amen. A lot of people, they'll point you to one thing. This is what I believe right here, Brother Jimmy. This right here, that's what I believe. That's what the devil did to Jesus.
Amen.
It's written right here, Jesus. I've got it. It is written. Right here in 63, Brother Hoover, it is written. That's right, Satan. It is also written.
Amen.
Oh, somebody will show you their favorite quote or their favorite scripture. This is what I believe right here. That's all right. I believe that one too. And the 20 others where he talks about it.
Amen.
Amen. I want to take all that he said. I want to take all that he said.
Amen.
A real grain has got to produce whatever is in it. Amen. If it's a cuckle burr, it's not. You don't go out and expect it to produce a rose. It's not going to happen. Amen. You can preach to it. You can play tapes to it. You can pray over it. It's not going to change from a cuckle burr to a rose because it was a cuckle burr to begin with. We get so worked up and so stressed out about, oh my, how can I get this one to see it? And how can I get that one to see it? You know what? All you can do is just keep watering and sowing and watering and sowing. If they're predestinated to see it, there's nothing in the world, there's no demon out of hell that can keep them from seeing it.
Right.
And if they aren't, if they're just a cuckold burr, I don't care how much you preach to it. I don't care how many tapes you played to it. I don't care how many times you pray over it. A cuckold burr is going to be a cuckold burr and a rose is going to be a rose. A sheep is going to be a sheep and a goat is going to be a goat. Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said, God never changed you from a goat to a sheep. He said, you was a sheep all along.
Amen.
I want to remind the devil this morning, God didn't come and change us from a buzzard to an eagle or from a chicken to an eagle. We was an eagle all along. We was just associated around some chickens and buzzards. But when we heard a true eagle's voice begin to scream, we recognized, you know what? I've been hanging around the wrong coop.
Amen.
It's time to go up a little higher.
That's right.
Because there's something within inside of me that I recognized I was an eagle to begin with. He never changed me from a buzzard to an eagle.
No.
I was an eagle all along. I'd just been around so many buzzards and chickens and didn't know nothing else. It was hard for me to recognize what I was. I knew I was different. But then something cried, come up a little higher.
Amen.
Come up a little higher. Stop listening to somebody's favorite quote and somebody's favorite scripture and come up higher where you can see all that the word says.
Amen.
Where you can see all that it says. Brother Bram said he was standing there one time. He said he was preaching. He said all of a sudden he began to speak in tongues. He said before you knew it, he jumped up and he said, a rock in a weary land, interpreted what he said himself. I guess he was out of order. Had a minister brother that spoke in tongues and interpreted on the pulpit and people about crucified him a while back. I said, you need to tell them. Well, I guess Brother Branham was out of order when he did it at his church. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know how we got on that. I guess I read that Why I'm a Holy Roller title and it just... You can't put God in a box. You say, Brother Bram said for him to do it in the back room. That's absolutely right. He was dealing with a group of people like Paul talked about that was getting up and speaking in tongues all the time. And Paul said, let it not be by more than groups of three and let it be in order. Let it be in its place. He said, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. When Brother Furman's up here singing and he begins to sing something, oh my, it's just right along what I'm going to preach. I don't run out the back door and just start preaching as wide open as I can just because it goes along with what I'm preaching. It's not the time. It's not the place.
All right.
when him or Brother Hoover are sitting back there and I'm preaching on something, and might they think, oh, my, at the end of the service, if the Lord works it out, my, this song would just go right along with that so much, and the Holy Spirit begin to lead them. They don't just jump up in the pew and begin to sing it to the top of their lungs while I'm preaching. That would be out of order. But there's a time and a place, and God sets things in orders.
Amen.
You say, oh my, he told him to do it in the back room. That's right, because they was out of order. They was getting out of order, and he was dealing with a group of people. And when he set it up that way, that group of people just got up and moved away, and it dealt with the issue. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Go search in your Bible in the book of Acts and look up back room and tell me how many times it's in the Bible. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost began to fall on them, and they began to speak in tongues. And the Holy Ghost thought so much of it, it began to fall right on him right there. You mean God would lead another prophet to do another thing? Absolutely, to set things in order for a while. Amen, because of people getting out of hand. Some of you, every time we start to sing, you start dancing and running and screaming and jumping just because it's you worked up. We'll stop singing those songs for a while till we get things back in order. Amen. You start doing some of these things, we'll set some things in order until it gets in order. Amen. But until it gets out of order, Brother Bram said, I'd rather see it get out of order long enough for us to get saved.
Amen.
You don't hear that quote a lot, but that's what he said. He said, God help us to get out of order long enough to get saved. You know what? The Holy Ghost will never lead you to do anything that's out of order. If it's really the Holy Ghost, it'll be perfectly in order. It'll be perfectly in order. You say, oh my, I felt so led to dance the other night, but I didn't want to be out of order. If it was the Holy Ghost, it wouldn't be out of order. Jack Coe, I heard him preaching a while back. He said, oh my, he said, I know, he said, none of you shouting enough. He said, just excuse me a minute while I dance. And he got to dancing. He said, somebody said, oh, that's just him. He said, of course it's me. Who else would it be? But I hope that it was the Holy Spirit dancing through him, even though it was still him up there. Hey man, who is it many times? Who is it? You know, if it's really true, Paul said, if I sing, let me sing in the Spirit. If I dance, let me dance in the Spirit. If I preach, let me preach in the Spirit. Whatever I do, let it be in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We just want things done in the Spirit.
Right.
Amen. Whatever it is, all things, Paul said, to be done orderly and all these different things, all these different gifts. I'm not scared of the gifts. God set the gifts in the church.
Amen.
Some people are scared to death of the gifts. Well, I guess you're scared of healing and knowledge and wisdom then, because they're part of the gifts.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Here a grain of wheat can't do nothing but produce wheat. Its seed, its beginning is wheat. And we're sowed with the incorruptible word of God. And if we're sowed with the incorruptible word of God and the Holy Spirit watering this seed, it can bring nothing forth but reproduce the life of Jesus Christ in every one of his believers. God help the day that when men and women will be just what they are. Be just what they are. Brother Bram said, if I have the spirit of John Dillinger, he said, I'd pack a gun and go shoot people. He said, if I had the spirit of Beethoven, I'd be a composer and I'd compose music. If I had the spirit of all these different men, you know, he goes on and begins to say, if I had the spirit of Shakespeare, I'd write great poems and things. But he said, if I have the spirit of Christ, then I'll do exactly what Christ did.
Amen.
I'm not trying to beat a dead horse this morning, but Jesus died on the cross speaking in tongues. That's what the prophet of God said.
Amen.
And they didn't haul the cross over to a back room somewhere either. I know that just digs some of you so hard you can't hardly stand it. But I'm not going to take one quote and one tape. I'm going to take all of what the Word of God said. He had a purpose and a reason for that one quote and that one tape. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm believing. I'm glad he did it to set it in order. Amen. But he told me to say what the tapes say. And I'm not just going to say what one tape says. I'm going to say what all of them says. I'm going to stay with what the Word of God said. It's the foundation. The seal of God, 1954. When a grain of wheat falls into the earth, no matter if that grain of wheat dies to itself, it can't produce a cuckleburr to save its soul. A grain of wheat will bring forth a grain of wheat just as sure as anything. And if we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, how can it produce anything but a life of Christ's life?
Amen.
You say, oh, I'm of incorruptible seed. Well, we'll see what it produces. We'll watch and see what it produces for a little while. You mean, Brother Nathan, you know, you believe that a Christian will never make a mistake? Absolutely not. I believe we make mistakes every day. If you claim that you haven't made a mistake yet today, I'll just tell you, well, at least one of mine isn't being a liar. Brother Branham, you go back and look at it. He said, we backslide daily. He said, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He said, if the Apostle Paul had to do it, then we've got to do it.
Amen.
Amen. If the Apostle Paul in his age, without all the temptations and technology and things that we have today, if he had to die out daily to live a victorious life, we've got to die out daily. Brother Branham said it, you know, almost hourly we've got to check up. Amen. We make mistakes, but the difference between a Christian and somebody that's not, they're willing to go back and correct their mistakes.
Amen.
The difference between Saul and David, they was both making mistakes. But David would go and he would quickly say, oh God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God, forgive me. God, take this thing away from me. God, help me. And Saul would say, well, Samuel and I think, and you know, this is why I did it, and this was my reason, and he would try to cover it up. And Samuel said, look, Saul, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
I mean, you can try to do all the works you want. You can try to sugarcoat it and whitewash it and do everything you want to try to justify your mistake, but you'd be better off if you just obeyed God and repented and admitted it was me that was wrong. A lot of these people walking away from the message, they just got out on a limb and can't admit that they were wrong. So they want to try to say the word of God is wrong. Brother Jimmy, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I've been low down and I don't know why God's grace would even pick me up some of the time, some of the mistakes and things that I've done. But I've never been guilty of saying the word was wrong. It was me that was wrong.
Amen.
If I get so low down, whatever it would be, God never let me say that the word is wrong. Amen. I might be a failure. I might be miserable. I might be low down and nothing. As Brother Furman sang, who am I that the king would give his life for? Who am I that he would do these things? I was nothing but a dirt bag. Neither was you. You was nothing but 6 feet or 5 feet or 4 feet or whatever you was of dirt. But God, rich in mercy. It wasn't ever him that was wrong. It was me that was wrong. Abraham, 1955, we don't have nothing to worry about if God called us into his loving grace. Brother, I'm telling you, if you've ever been born again of the Spirit of God, you ought to be the happiest person in the world because you have eternal life. Everlasting life cannot perish. Amen. You're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God.
Amen.
Amen. He's not talking about this guy here. This guy here, they'll either put it in the dust out here and it'll rot and it'll corrupt, or either one day I'll be walking along and it'll just be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, and this corruptible will put on incorruption. But there's something down on the inside. Whatever happens to this guy, if it's shot with the bullet, if it's killed in a car wreck, if it's hit by a train or burned at the stake or whatever it would be, this guy, though he perish, though he go back to dust, there's something down on the inside of us that cannot perish. If we truly are the seed of God, if we have that original seed, if we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother Bram said, you can no more perish than God can perish. You can no more die than God can die. I'm not talking about this carcass that's hauling you around, but that soul down on the inside. If he looked down through his thinking and saw you from eternity, I don't care how much the devil tries to lie to you and tell you you'll never make it and tell you you're not worthy. You know what? I wasn't worthy, Brother Randy. It was him that was worthy. It wasn't me doing this. It wasn't me that chose and selected and said, I'll call Nathan Bryant and David Hoover and Bill Layton and Arnie Byrd out of this generation, and I'll let them see what I've done in this age through a prophet of God. It wasn't me that picked this thing. It was him that picked it.
Amen.
Amen. People say, oh my, you talk too much about Brother Branham. I want to remind you, this is a message church.
Amen.
This isn't a Baptist church or a Methodist church. If this was a Catholic church, I'd talk about Mary a lot more. This was a Methodist church. I talk about John Wesley a lot more, but this is a message church.
Amen.
We believe the message here.
Amen.
We believe God sent a prophet here.
Yes.
Amen. If you don't believe that, then you're probably at the wrong place. You'd probably be happier to Lutheran or Trinitarian or Church of Christ Church or something like that. Well, they'll talk about, you know, sewing parties and stitching sews and things like that. You'd probably be happier over there. When they talk about what's going on in the news and who, whatever politician they're for and what time the soup supper is going to be and dismiss church and go home so the deacons can get their smoke breaks and watch their favorite television show, you'd probably be a lot happier over there if that's how you feel. But we believe God sent a prophet in this age.
Amen.
This isn't part of the notes, but I feel led to turn to it. Joshua chapter 1. Let's just kick this devil in the teeth while we got him down.
Let's see.
You go tell some of them I can use it, Brother Hoover. People get so upset about using digital technology and things like that. I thank God for it. I thank God that you can see what I'm talking about. We had a sister come one time. She said, oh, Brother Nathan said something that Brother Branham said, and I went back and looked for it, and he didn't say it. And that somebody asked her, said, well, did you ever go and ask him about it? No. She never has come and asked me about it. I'd be happy to explain to her whatever it was, or if I did say something wrong. You know, we put every tape, every service up online for the scrutinization and criticism of anybody that wants to criticize. I'd be happy to go back with her and listen to it, and whatever she said, I'd be happy to, if I was wrong, I'd be happy to get up right here and correct it and make it right. But have the courtesy to come to me first, at least, before you go talk to other people and lie behind my back. So now we have it where people can see what I'm saying right here, except for when it's not part of the notes, but I'm telling you where to turn this morning. Amen. So that you can see it's what he said. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. This is where we find ourselves this morning. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Why is he still talking about Moses, Moses, Moses? And God just said, he's dead. But God is still talking about Moses. He wasn't really dead. He was just in a different dimension.
All right.
He was sleeping.
Yes, sir.
From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. Oh, my goodness. Why doesn't he put the emphasis on Jehovah? I haven't heard Jehovah's name one time. Moses, Moses, Moses. Oh, it was Jehovah talking. Praise the Lord. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thee, their fathers, to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Here's God telling Joshua, which Brother Bram said, our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Nathan, you believe you're a Joshua? No, but I believe I'm a Caleb that's got the Joshua spirit in me.
All right.
Amen. Who are you looking to be a Joshua, Brother Nathan? Anybody that's got the Holy Ghost. Amen. They're not a Joshua. They're a Caleb. But they got the Joshua spirit down on the inside of them. Brother Bram said Joshua was the Holy Spirit. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. But what about over here, Lord, where he smote the rock when he should have spoke to it? I think the prophet made a mistake over there. Don't you think we should straighten that out before we send the people over? What about when he killed that Egyptian? Don't you think he was out of the will of God? My, he ran up on the backside of the desert because he was threatened. And here he killed this man, not of your leading, but of his own accord. Don't you think we should erase that part out, God, and hide it so that some of these people on WHS 11 and the websites and things don't get a hold of it and try to make a mockery out of us? Don't turn from the left or the right from what he said. But he made mistakes, Lord. I saw he lost his temper one time and he threw down the commandments that you wrote with your own hand. I would have been so scared to death, Lord, to ever do that to something that you wrote with your own hand. He lost his temper and got mad at the people because the way they was living. Oh, my. Don't you think we should correct that before we go over? Don't turn from the left or the right from what he said. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn from not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Whose word? The word of the prophets.
Amen.
You say, oh, I don't read the message very much anymore. The prophet's been dead so many years, I go back and I read my Bible. Well, I believe in reading my Bible too, but what you're doing is reading prophets that have been dead a lot longer than him.
Preach, brother. Come on now.
That's good.
Oh, my, we ain't following no dead man. We'll take what Paul said. Excuse me? The point of it all is, it wasn't Paul. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't William Branham. It was Jesus Christ speaking through vessels.
Amen.
And whatever he said through Moses, I'm not going to turn from the left or the right. Whatever he said to Paul, I'm not going to turn from the left or the right. Whatever he said to Brother Branham, I'm not going to turn to the left or the right. You say, well, I don't understand this and I don't understand that. I don't understand it all either. I don't understand some of the Levitical law. But I still believe it's part of the Bible. Amen. I don't live by all the Levitical law. I'll be honest with you. Jesus came and the sacrifice has been made and some of those things was done away with. And I thank God for a prophet in this age to show us about dispensation changes. Or some of you would have to take some of your children down and stone them to death. Some of you we'd have to take out and stone you to death. Some of you couldn't even be here in the service. Well, God's good, isn't he? Incorruptible seed. Let me read this a little farther. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, but thou that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
I don't believe that was just to a man thousands of years ago. I take that as though he's speaking to me personally this morning. Amen. We're in the same situation this morning. The prophet's dead, this part of him. He's gone. But we still have his word.
Right.
Wasn't his word. It was God's word through the mouth of a prophet. Amen. I'm not just going to sit here and wait around. I'm going to go possess the land, whatever he's got for me, wherever the feet, soles of my feet tread. Amen. But Joshua, you go back and read the book of Joshua and see how many times he refers back. Moses said, Moses said, Moses said. He got ready to go over Jordan. He said, we're going to get out. It's going to be a long service today. We're going to get out and we're going to read all what the word said. Amen. He said, I'm not just going to read you my favorite quote or my theology or my pet doctrine and just read you the ones that rub my back the way that I like it. I'm going to read you all that the word said.
Right.
And he got up and began to read all the law of Moses to him before they went over. Why? He wanted to make sure they was good and lined up with the word before they went over. And when they went over, they didn't have to have a red cross. They didn't have to have an ambulance or a Band-Aid because God was walking with them because they was walking with the word.
Amen.
Said, oh, Joshua, you put too much emphasis on Moses. No, it's not Moses that we're trying to put the emphasis on. It's what God did through Moses.
Amen.
Amen. I don't just have this picture up here because I follow a prophet. I have this picture up here because God had his picture taken with that prophet.
Right.
Amen. This is a painting over here of what a man thought Jesus looked like. And we think it's the closest that he could get with the intellectual conception of what he might look like. But this is what he really looks like in pillar of fire form over here.
Amen.
Had his picture taken with this prophet. If I had one of Moses at the burning bush, I'd have it right up there with it. If I had one with Paul on the road to Damascus, I'd have it right up there with it. Unfortunately, technology hadn't advanced that far. Amen. But this is the message for our day.
Amen.
And I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to preach it if I have to preach it to two people and some posts. Amen. I'm not turning back.
Amen.
I'm not going back to Egypt and back to the leeks and the garlics. Maybe you like leeks and garlics, but I don't care nothing about leeks and garlics. Amen. I'm going forward. I'm going on with the message of this day. This was a vindicated prophet of God. I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed to talk about him. I don't lift him up higher than Jesus. Oh, I know there's some churches that all they can talk about is Brother Branham, and I don't want to get into too much here, but we're not one of those churches. We lift up Jesus Christ and him crucified. We keep Jesus Christ before the people. He has the preeminence here. He's the only one we worship. He's the only one we pray to. He's the only one we lift up. But I want to remind Satan that he used a man in this age, again, to restore the word back. He used a man to deliver 7 truckloads of wheelchairs and crutches. He used a man to stop a storm, to speak squirrels into existence, to speak tumors out of existence. Amen. I'm not ashamed to be following that man this morning. You say, oh my, I'd be happier over at the Methodist church. Well, go follow John Wesley then. I'd be happy over at the Lutheran church. Well, go follow Martin Luther then. You're going to be following some man wherever you go. Amen. I'm just happy to be following the vindicated man of this age. Amen. If I was in Moses' day, I don't think I'd ever got tired, Brother Randy, of telling him. I remember when he stood there, he stretched out that staff, and the waters began to part. We began to cross over. I wouldn't be glorifying the man, but I'd be glorifying what Jehovah did through the man. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You mean we're never going to make a mistake, Brother Nathan? We're never going to sin? Why would this same man then say, little children, sin not, but if you do sin, you have an advocate? He's talking about two different men. This guy down on the inside here doesn't sin. This guy here on the outside, he makes all kinds of mistakes. But there's one down on the inside that can't sin. His seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because why? What did Brother Branham say? Sinning isn't smoking, committing adultery, drugs, alcohol, whatever. Those are the attributes of sin. Sin is unbelief. Unbelief, to unbelieve the word. This guy can't unbelieve because his seed remaineth in him. Questions and Answers 1959. What is the seed now? Christ is the seed. Christ the seed of God. Whose seed is he if he isn't? All right. He's the seed of God. The seed of God remaineth in him. The Holy Ghost comes to abide, not from meeting to meeting, but from for eternal. Now, if you want to put that down, your scripture of this, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. The seed of God remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. He can't disbelieve God's word.
Amen.
There's something down on the inside of me. It just can't disbelieve God's word. Brother Nathan, aren't you scared of some of these things that people say? And aren't you afraid to go read some of these things that the people are talking about and things? Aren't you afraid you're going to be deceived? No, there's something down on the inside of me can't be deceived.
Amen.
I don't like to read it because it just makes me mad. But it's not going to deceive me.
Amen.
Some of the things, even message preachers and stuff staying around the message, I don't like to go listen to some of it because I just have to go through and pray to have the right spirit about it. But it's not going to deceive me.
Amen.
We're so scared of being deceived. Well, you must be scared of not being elect then, because the elect can't be deceived. I'm not scared of being deceived. I'm not scared of doubting the word. There's something about me, this seed down on the inside of me, it remaineth.
Amen.
It remaineth. Things may go, things may come, politics, popularity, opinions, doctrines, dogmas, creeds, man's opinions, they come and go like shifting sands and like the in and out of the tides. But the word of God remains the same. And the seed of God down on the inside of your heart, if you got the Holy Spirit, it remains the same. It's not going to be changed and tossed back and forth. Your flesh might be a little pulled and tossed and questioned things. But the seed down on the inside, if it's truly the Holy Spirit, when he wrote the word, when he sent the prophets, the Holy Spirit down on the inside isn't going to say something contrary to what they brought. The Holy Spirit in me isn't going to say, well, you know, I think Paul was just an old woman hater. You know, he was always talking about the women there in Corinthians and different things. And I wouldn't let him preach in the church and wouldn't let him cut their hair and all these different things. I guess he was just an old woman hater. No, that's not the Holy Spirit in you. It may be a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Oh, I just don't know about this, and I don't know about this. And, you know, so-and-so said over here, and this translation over there, and this over here, and this one tried to water it down over here, and this one over here said that, you know, oh my, that the King James isn't right, and that, you know, we're going to go with the Queen James now because it allows homosexuals. You go right ahead, not me.
Amen.
You go right ahead. I won't say Godspeed to you, but you go right ahead. I'll stick with the word.
Amen.
I'll stick with it the way the prophet taught it. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Spirit inside of me says amen to it. I don't have to work it up, Brother Jimmy. I don't have to beat my head against the wall. I don't have to figure it out. There's just something. I put on one of those tapes and begin to listen to it, and something down on the inside of me says, amen, 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 amen.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
Amen. If I said amen all the times that the Holy Spirit down on the inside of me was saying it, you'd get annoyed when we was listening to a tape. I'd just be saying, amen, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit down on the inside of me says to the Word.
Right.
Oh, but brother so-and-so said this about it. Amen. I don't believe that guy. Amen. His seed's corrupted. Amen, amen, amen. I'll take the profit. Amen. Over defectors. Amen. He was vindicated. Amen, amen, amen. They sowed discord. Amen. He sowed true word. Amen. I believe it. Amen, amen, amen. It produces. Amen. The same works again today. Amen.
Amen.
They've not produced nothing but websites. Amen. Amen. Why don't the musicians come? Oh, we believe it. Amen. We receive it. Amen. We're predestinated. Amen. 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 You love him this morning? Amen. Brother Furman just passed me a note here. It says the doctors have told Sister Dodge if she doesn't have surgery, she will bleed internally and die. So we want to remember her in prayer. We know that God's more than able to come on the scene for this. You know, I look back the last year or so, some of the things God's done. And when we get prayer requests like these, like the one for little Peyton, my grandniece, and the one for Sister Dodge and different ones, I don't have to wonder, can he do it? I know he can do it. I've seen him do it. Amen. The same God that can heal a curved spine, the same God that can heal leukemia, the same God that can heal hepatitis B, these aren't any more to him than those things. As I said a few Sundays ago, the same God that can heal a headache, he doesn't have to work up any more of a sweat to heal cancer or tuberculosis or anything else than he does a headache or a toothache. It's no more to God. It's just speaking the word. Amen. Speaking the word. Whatever he would speak, I believe it. Amen. If he spoke, I don't care what he would speak. I would believe it. Amen. I believe the word of God. I believe it in whatever form it comes in. If it comes through the preaching of the word, if it comes through a tape, if it comes through a book, if it comes through the Bible, I believe it. I mean, amen. I believe what Moses said. I believe what Paul said. I believe what all the prophets said down through the ages.
Amen.
You realize some of these things that have been spoken by Ezekiel and Zechariah, John the Revelator, some of these things haven't come to pass yet. I'm not biting my fingernails worrying about whether it's going to or not, because I've seen what the rest of it has produced. I believe the word this morning. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. I don't know. I don't know, Brother Hoover. It's ever since I was a little boy, it's not been something that's difficult for me. I see some people, it's so hard for them. And you can show them and you can show them and you can show them. You can show them what God's doing. I was with a friend recently, and you know, he's kind of walked away and just doing his own thing. I would begin to tell him some of the things that God was doing. He was astounded. He couldn't believe it. So then I began to show him pictures of x-rays and different things. And he thought, my. But he still hasn't come. Amen. If he's one of God, he'll come.
Right.
You can come the easy way, you can come the hard way. But if you're one of God's, you can't get away from it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know why it's so easy. Oh, I do, I guess, Brother Layton. It's because there's an incorruptible seed down on the inside. Amen. I've never had to sit and work it up and think, oh my, Lord, help me to believe this one. Lord, when I turn over here to Ezekiel, just help me to believe this chapter. I just believe it. I've never turned on a tape and thought, oh my, this one's way back in 51. Lord, just help me. I don't know if I can believe this one. I just believe it. It's just simple. Why, Brother Nathan? You mean you just follow something blindly? No, I'm not following blindly. I've seen what it's produced. I've seen what it's produced in me. I've seen what it's produced in others. Amen. It's the unfailing word of God. You say, oh my, well, I've heard this opinion and that opinion. Well, that's just the problem. You're listening to the wrong opinions. Amen. You're listening to people that are going off their own ideas, their own inklings, their own gropings. I had a sister sent me a thing recently that a family member had sent her, contradicting some things that Brother Branham said, claimed that they had done a great big study on it and they had put this together. Something just spoke to my heart, Brother Hoover. I don't know why. I thought I'm going to go search a couple of those sentences on the internet. Found out about 2/3 of what they were saying a woman doctor had put together, not them. So they were asking this sister what the Bible said about this and that. I'm going to tell her to go ask them what the Bible said about plagiarism. Said, thou shalt not steal. Said, they take my words and steal them, different things that the Bible says about plagiarism. You can go look that up on Google too if you want. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's something about it. There's nothing I love hardly except just the pure presence of the Holy Ghost. The only thing that second to that that I love more than about anything else is getting the devil in a corner and just kicking the fire out of him. I believe with the help of the Lord we did that this morning.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We love you in the Lord. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord a little while together. Amen. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is who we lift up before the people. But to truly do that in this age, we have to tell you about God sending a prophet, because that's what God did in this age.
Right.
If you want to stop back in the 1800s and me just tell you up to there what God did, then I don't have to tell you about God sending a prophet. But if you want to get past about 1909, I've got to tell you about God sending a prophet. Amen. So I want to get you up to date with what God's doing now. What He's doing now, He's doing it through a group of people that have received what He's done in this age. In Noah's age, there was a group of people. They followed Noah's message. They came out of the ark on the other side. In Moses' day, there was a group of people. They followed his message. They came out. Today, we do the same thing. People say, oh my, you just think that you're the only ones that's got it. No, we don't think that. God thought that. I'm not saying nobody else will be saved. But the bride of Jesus Christ in this age will come from the message of the hour.
Amen.
The bride of Jesus Christ in Paul's day came from his message. The bride of Christ in every age came from that message.
Amen.
You can get mad and upset all you want, but all the others that were following anybody else but Noah's message, all they could say was, when it came right down to it, that's all they could say. They'd try to say something about that prophet, Brother Hoover, and it'd come out. They were trying to say he was a false prophet, but they began to realize in those last few seconds, you know what? Maybe he wasn't. Amen. You say, that's foolish, Brother Nathan. Well, God said that he'd save the lost by the foolishness of preaching, so maybe somebody will get saved this morning. Amen. That's all their words are to me, Brother Layton. You hear Charlie Brown's teacher is what I hear when I hear some of these guys. Wonk, wonk, wonk. That's all I hear. Oh, we heard this. We dug up this. We found this document. Wonk, 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 wonk. That's all it means to me. That's not the word that called me out.
Amen.
That's not the word that delivered me. The word that delivered me was vindicated. And the word that delivered me goes right back to this. I can tie it back to this. They want to talk about predestination? Let's come talk about predestination.
Amen.
You want to talk about serpent seed? Let's talk about serpent seed. You want to talk about the Godhead? Let's talk about it. What do you want to talk about? Let's take it back to the word and see what the word said.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. I'm glad he didn't come and just say, do away with your Bibles. He said, this is what the Bible said.
Right.
And he started in Genesis and went to Revelations. And the church said, amen, amen, amen,
amen,
because it matched right along. Amen. You might like Joel Osteen better than me. You might like him better than Brother Branham. He might pat you on the back and make you feel better. But he can't take what he's saying back to this.
Amen.
You might like some of these guys walking away and criticizing, doing all these things. They're not taking what they said back to this. Oh, they'll try to, but they'll leave out a scripture over here, and they'll have to use a different interpretation over there, and they'll have to use Dr. So-and-so and Sister So-and-so's interpretation over here. Let's take it right back to this and see what this said.
Amen.
That's my foundation.
Right.
Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's worship the Lord together. happened so long ago. Cried out for mercy back then. Bled the blood of Jesus. Begged him to forgive my sins. I can't forget it. Just won't go away. So I wept again, Lord. Wash my sin. This is all he'd say. What sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. He'll tell you what sin? What sin? It was gone. Every minute you confessed, buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Heaviest thing you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear them. Let them go in my Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger, quick to forgive our sins. So let him put them under the blood. Don't bring them up again. 'Cause he'll just say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. Church, tell me what sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Oh, they're buried in the sea of forgiveness. What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. Oh, you're incorruptible, see? Oh, what sin? Church, tell me what sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea. Satan's tried to lie to you this morning. Maybe he tried to tell you you'll never make it. Maybe he tried to dig up things in your past. Say, oh, you did this and you did that. Amen. They're under the blood. This is what God says. He'll say, what sin? Oh, child, what sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. Oh, tell me. Is buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. My child, I can't remember. Minute you confess, oh, buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. You love the Lord this morning? Amen. 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 Satan will try to lie to you. He'll try to rob you of your victory. He'll try to rob you of everything the devil can. That's his job, to go about and try to destroy. But there's incorruptible seed that can't be destroyed.
Amen.
Amen. I want to remind the enemy this morning, he's a defeated enemy.
Right.
Amen. I don't have to defeat him. You don't have to defeat him. Jesus already defeated him at Calvary. Amen. You say, Brother Nathan, you offended me this morning. Well, if the word offends you, you need to be offended. Amen. You say, that's awful rough. Well, Jesus sure offended him when he went down there and called him all the things that he did, didn't he, Brother Arnie? He said, you whited walls. He said, oh my, you're of your father the devil. I'm sure that offended him. But he was telling him the truth. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this before we go.
We want to say thank you.
Let's stand and sing it together.
Lord, for all the grace you have given us. Oh, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, thanks, oh, thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all you've done. Oh, I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, thanks, oh, thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all you've done. Lord, I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord.
God bless you, saints. Go in his love and grace.